And Mizmar, which the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon held, is the Shir Shayom of Shuas. What is the Shir Shayom of Shuas? The Gaon held the Shir Shayom is Mizmar Yutes, which you have in front of you, which Eitan was kind enough to Xerox, thank you. And that's a Mizmar we say every Shabbos morning, but it's a very well-known Mizmar. And the Mizmar is clearly divided into two. I don't think you have to be, you have to have a PhD in order to understand that, but we'll just read it for those who may not be so familiar with it. Lamatzeach Mizmar LeDavid, Hashemayim Misapim Kvotel, the heavens speak the glory of Hashem, Umasa Yoda Magid HaRakia. And the Rakia, which of course is the firmament, thank you, tells over his handiwork. Yom liyom yabia umer, v'layla l'layla l'chaved do'as. Ein umer v'ein dvarim v'li nishma kolam. There's their voice, if you will, the voice of the heavenly bodies, thunders, is heard very clearly. The chalar tzatzal kavam v'yisei sevim l'layem. L'ashemesh son o'el v'ayem. V'hu, k'chasan yotzim v'chupasam. I'm not going to focus on the individual something because this would take a few hours, which is necessary to do, but not for our purposes right now. So what is the pasuk here referring to? It says, "Vehu, he is likened to a chasan yotze mechupasa." Who is likened to? What is the antecedent of "Vehu kechasan yotze mechupasa"? What does it refer to? We say it every Shabbos morning. So undoubtedly, we have to be familiar with it, no?
Relatively.
What does it mean, "Vehu kechasan yotze mechupasa"? He is likened to a chasan. Who's he? No, try again. The Shemesh. That seems to make more sense. The Shemesh is likened to a chasan, like a groom, a bridegroom, who is about to lead the chuppah. You can imagine what the bridegroom looks like. Yassis kigibar. He is, of course, I would translate it, but it's not a little translation, happy as a lark. But Yassis kigibar refers to, of course, someone who's a man of valor. Loretz Arach, about to run his course. Mitzeh Hashemayim Motzo. Nothing is hidden. Mechamaso translate from? Chamaso refers to? The sun. Thank you. Toras Hashem Tumima Meshivas Nafesh. Obviously, at this point, one should jump through the roof. And almost as if something has happened over here. Something rather startling. Something rather jarring. Something rather impacting, that is to say. Something is a major shift. A major shift in the theme, without even any kind of a transforming. One would expect some sort of warning, some sort of transition. There is no transition. Till now, heretofore, what are we talking about? We're talking about the majesty of the universe, the handiwork of Hashem. And suddenly, as they would say, in medias res, Torah Hashem tmima mishivas nafesh. The Torah of Hashem is pure, restores the soul. The testimony of Hashem is truthful. It makes even a Pesi, someone who's not so wise, makes him wise. Pikudi Hashem Misharim. Again, the Pikudos of Hashem are straight, Misamchilei, glad in the heart, Mitz Hashem Bara. They are again pure, Mirasei Noyim, illumining the eyes, Yiras Hashem Tahorah Meneslad, Mishpati Hashem Emes, Tzotku Yachdov, Hanechem Vada Mizav in Pazro. The words of Hashem are more pleasant than gold. Will be pazra. What's pazra? Paz, actually, there are many fuel stations here. They call it paz. But what's pazra? Here in this context, what does paz mean? Paz means gold, of course, which is refined of a very distinct nature. The words of Torah are sweeter than honey. Benofes tufin. And the droppings of the honeycomb. Even your servant is careful to shamram by guarding them. Ekev Rav. Ekev, of course, means what? Great star. The word Ekev has several translations depending on the context. But the word Ekev, as in this context, means a great reward and compensation will accrue to the person who observes the Torah. Shkios miyavim in his Torah snakeni. When I read the book Discourses and discovered after the book was already published a number of typos here and there. And then there were some people who were kind enough to send me through the email all the typos in the book. And then I asked some young men in the shir to review it and find typos. So Baruch Hashem, no shortage of typos. So I was a little bit crestfallen. Of course, I'm only human. And someone told me in my shul, he said, Harav, don't worry. I said, why should I worry? He said, it says, Shkios miyavid in the stars nakeni. What does it mean, this pasuk? Shkios miyavid, people make mistakes. Gabi zeynim chasoch adecha alim shilubi, oz eisem nikesin in pesha rov, yil ratzen in mekri, ve'adyom vid panach Hashem tzuri v'gadim. So as you can see, the first part of the Mizmor, the reason why I'm studying this Mizmor, again, because the Vilna Gaon said, this Mizmor is the Mizmor of the Yamdun HaShuas. The Shir Shiyam that is said at Shuas, I assume you're aware that Gaon has a different Shir Shiyam, Wofen and Yamdun, than the rest of the world has. The Gaon didn't, shall we say, as a magician, or someone who's involved in necromancy, decide to have the figment of his own imagination to create that, but rather it's based on the Gemara and Sukkah, as you can well understand. But the connection here to Shuas is pretty self-evident, I would say. But the first part of the Mizmor focuses on what? On Shamayim, on Teva. The second talks about Torah Sashem. As I mentioned a moment ago, that Kimat, all the Pashonim who studied this Mizmor, from the Rishonim all the way down to the Achroni Achronim, are concerned about one issue, and that is the lack of transition between the two themes. There's no transition. Normally, when you write a paragraph and you're going to discuss two different topics, in order that the paragraph should be coherent, you obviously are going to have a subject, and usually there's an object, there's a predicate. Don't they teach you that in English 1-2? And I think they teach that in kindergarten, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, so that's normally how it operates. And if you're going to have two different themes, there has to be some transition. Here there's absolutely no transition, as I mentioned before. Suddenly, the two themes are, number one, the majesty of the universe, that the universe itself sings the praises of Hashem Yisbarach, and then suddenly in the middle, Torah Hashem Tzimim, Mashiv As Namesh. As I said, it's rather jarring and impacting that there's no transition. As a matter of fact, that's all the Rishonim are concerned about this problem. And if you wanted to study the Rishonim on this, which I hope you will, Mitzvah Hashem one day, you will see, starting from Rashi, and going down to Rav Sadia Gaon, and continuing, the Radak, all the Pashoni HaMikra are concerned about this problem. I'm not going to discuss now the different approaches, even all the way up to the Mitzvahs. You're familiar with the Mitzvahs? On the bottom of the page, there are two Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Dov and Mitzvahs Sion. One is concerned about words, and one is concerned about the flow, the continuity of Psukim Tehillim and the Tanakh in general. So they're all concerned about this problem. And Rashi comments at the very beginning of this Mizmor, Rashi points out that the Shamayim and all of its ma'arachos, the Shamayim, all the heavenly bodies that include here, the Shemesh, the Areach, the Kochav, the Mazolos, when a person studies, I remember years and years ago, my father, Michelle, was very into the going to museums. And so I spent many a, I would say even, not many a week, but perhaps even more than that, at the Hayden Planetarium. It still exists. In New York City, my father was very into. I was literally a frequent visitor at the Hayden Planetarium, Museum of Natural History, Museum of Science, and other such museums that are of interest to me. I am interested in science and mathematics. So this particular Mizmor clearly is focused on the unbelievable majesty of creation. And I assume you're familiar with the fact that that's the first part of the Mizmor. And it begins with a beautiful description of the grandeur of the world, of the harmony of the world, how everything is coordinated in the most incredible fashion. And then Rashi comments, when the Mizmor turns to Torah Hashem Tumimo, so if I'm not mistaken, Rashi says, Gam hi me'ira kashomesh. Rashi is bothered by the transition. What is the transition? So Rashi said, the Torah is also me'ira kashomesh. Since the first part focused on light and the sun, and what the heavenly bodies, so Rashi says, Torah also has this quality. The quality of what? Of illuminating. Of, shall we say, illumination. And Rashi says, just like it says, Me'ira Seinayim. And Rashi goes further. Rashi, I believe, quotes the pasuk, Kiner Mitzvah, V'Torah Or. Torah is light. And then Rashi goes on to say, Ve'ein Nistar Mechamasa. What does that refer to? It says, Rashi Mechamasa refers to not the sun, but the Yom Hadin, the ultimate day of judgment, the ultimate day of reckoning that all of us are going to eventually have to confront. And Rashi refers to Pesukim Tanakh that the sun is going to, shall we say, scorch those that are not necessarily worthy. However, what will protect us, says Rashi, Torah Hashem Tumima Mishivas Nafesh. That will protect those who are learning, those who are involved in the study of Torah, would be protected from the scorching rays of the sun. And Rashi puts another pasuk, v'zarcha lachem shmi, v'zarcha lachem yirei shmi, shemesh tzlako marpe. So the reason why I mention this is because, as I said, Rashi is concerned about the transition between the two parts of the Mizmar. First part being the heavenly Bria, the second part being the Koach HaTorah. The Radak, in his parish on the Mizmar, so the Radak actually explains the following. The Radak says, Torah Hashem, the reason why we are juxtaposing the idea of Torah to the idea of the Shemesh, I'll read the Lashon of the Radak. The Radak says, Kemo she'ashamayim v'ashemesh v'algalgalu mi'idim u'misachim al kvod ha'keil, just like the heavenly bodies testify to the covenant of Hashem Yisbarach, v'al chochmaso, to his wisdom, kein ha'torah v'amitzis asher tziva la'amo Yisrael mi'idos al chochmaso v'al yoshra. So too the Torah and mitzvahs also testify to the wisdom and the rectitude of Hashem Yisbarach. He quotes Pesukim in the Torah, the Torah speaks about Chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim kechol ha'torah azos. Furthermore, the Radak says, I'm sorry?
Rectitude.
Righteousness. Furthermore, the Radak says, Kemo she'ashamayim v'ashemesh mo'ilim la'olam, just like the heavens and the sun clearly have a very beneficial effect on the world, u'bahem ha'olam omeid, and the world stands, kein ha'torah. She'itmima, v'yimeshivas nafesh, v'kiyim ha'nefesh ba, kemo she'kiyim ha'olam kashemesh. And he has a long arichus over here, but essentially, both Rashi and the Radak are assuming as their premise that just as the heavenly bodies, as I said, benefit the world, so too the Torah also has a similar kind of benefit, and we obviously are the beneficiaries of the beneficence of the sun and the heavenly bodies and the Torah as well. That's how Rashi and the Radak understand this pasuk. However, one of the questions that Rishona raised, and I heard my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik raise it in the context of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And I want to share that Mishnah, famous Mishnah. Mishnah speaks about a person who is walking on the road, if you recall. Mishnah says, someone is walking on the road, and he is involved in what? In the study of Torah. Umasik Mishnasa, suddenly he stops, and he says, Manoa ilon zeh, manoa nir zeh. He proceeds to admire the beauty of nature. And there's what to admire. I was zochet to study the fruit fly for 6 months in my days of allergy. The fruit fly, Drosophilus. I studied it for 6 months. I was amazed by the fruit fly, which is a very, very simple organism relative to the tadpoles and frogs that we dissected. Fruit fly is a very simple organism, not complicated. I'm sure you are familiar with it. I'm sorry?
Drosophila melangastica.
Correct, that's the full name. I have abbreviated it. Anyway, so I was amazed by the fruit fly. And then, in the course of it, we examined amoebas and paramecium and also other more complex organisms. And to me, it led me to Yad Hashem in the most unbelievable way. Because I was amazed by the coordination, by the harmony of all the systems that are operating, and Kal v'chomer, Rosh Kal v'chomer, a fortiori, the human being. The reason why I mention this is because the Mishnah Pirkei Avos has the following statement. The person is in the process of learning, but he is walking on the road, ambulating, if you will, and he's masing the Mishnaso in order to admire the beauty of the universe, the grandeur of Hashem's creation. So the Mishnah says, ha'rei zeh mischayav v'nafsho. That person is liable for what? For the death penalty. Why? Why should he be liable for the death penalty? Aren't there two ways to come to Hashem Yisbarach? The answer is yes. There are two ways. Who says so? No one less a personage than Maimonides, the great Rambam. The Rambam writes in a number of different places. I assume you're familiar with the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva and the Moreh Nevuchim and his letters and the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvos. But the one that I'm interested in right now, since I do happen to have a Rambam, is this Rambam in Hilchos Yisori HaTorah. Sorry. The Rambam, the second Chelek, or rather the second parak of Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, you are familiar with this Rambam, and you should be. If you're not, You should become familiar with it. The Rambam says the following. Hokel ha-nichbad v'anora hazeh, Hashem mitzvah li'ava v'li'ir osel. The mitzvah is to love Hashem and to fear Him. Shenemar, Rambam goes to Pesukim. V'yahavtas Hashem elokecha, love God. And it says, Hashem elokecha tira, fear God. Ask the Rambam, and Allah obeys, v'echi ha-derech li'avosel v'li'ir osel. How do you come to this love of Hashem and to the fear of Hashem? So the Rambam says, b'shor she'izbonin ha'odam b'masa v'bruah v'anifloyim. Anyone who studies the handiwork of Hashem and His wonderful creation, and I spoke about a second ago, just examine the fruit fly. And from there you will go to examine other, as I said, more complicated multicellular organisms. And the Rambam says, v'yirameyem chachmasos shem la'erech v'lokeitz. You will see in them wisdom that is unbelievable. Miyad, the Rambam says, what happens? The person is so taken aback by the grandeur of Hashem's creation, by its majesty, by its complexity, by its synchrony, by its harmony, by its coordination. What is the reaction? Miyad hu ohev, hu mishabeach, hu mefoer, hu misaveh tava gedola, leida Hashem agolom. What am I seized with? A desire to actually embrace Hashem. Ki ilu. Obviously, you cannot embrace Hashem. That's a philosophical possibility. But I am deceived by this tremendous desire. Leida Hashem agodol, to know Him. And according to the Rambam, the greater the idea, the greater the Ava. The greater the knowledge a person has, the greater the Ava you have of Hashem. So that's Avas Hashem. How did it come about? As a result of examining the creation, studying physics and chemistry, and taking organic chemistry, and microbiology, and genetics. These are some of the courses I took in my days. And thereby, one comes to, let me just finish the point, thereby one comes to a beautiful Avas Hashem. And then the Rambam says, the moment the person comes to that realization, then you realize, here I am, shall we say, soaring in the stratosphere, trying to somehow connect, to bond with the Almighty, Avas Hashem. But who am I? At that moment you're seized by an antithetical kind of reaction. You recoil. I am but a what? Briyak tano shvala afela. I am a cipher. I am a speck. I am literally a piece of dust. Omedes bedas kala mehutal v'litmin deos. For Hashem is baruch hu am I. Thus the Rambam says, what has happened at this very moment? A fusion of two different elements, namely one, Avas Hashem. And the moment the person, shall we say, is seized by Avas Hashem, at that moment, what happens? Yiras Hashem enters the scene. It's a kind of dialectic. This is, of course, Rav Soloveitchik's favorite, one of his favorite ideas. Dialectic means that kimad in everything a person does, svei dinim, but the risk is here. Kimad in everything a person does, there's a, if you will, constant tension oscillating between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. But the reason why I mention this is because here this Rambam is focused on what? Telling you the way to come to Avas Hashem is how? By examining the Bria. The first part of it is what you test. Look at the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs. Rambam there has another approach that he tells you the way to come to Avas Hashem, says the Rambam, is not only through examining the Bria, but here he writes the following. Mitzvah hey, the obligation of Avodas Hashem. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And then he says, "Lushon Sifrei, Ula Avdo Zu Talmud." How does a person come to Avodas Hashem? Through learning Torah. Uv Mishnaso Shabalaza Beno Shabir Saglili. The Rambam says, "If Duhu B'Torahso, how does a person come to Avodas Hashem? Through Limud Torah." And the Rambam goes on to describe this particular process, but if you look at the Rambam in a number of places, both in Hilchos Tshuva and the Rambam in Mar Nebuchim, I can show you many places, it's clear there's a second derech to come to Avodas Hashem, and that is through Limud HaTorah. So now Rav Soloveitchik said that what is the pshat in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos? He said the pshat is the following, and I'll introduce it with the Kuzari. The Kuzari Avida Levi also relates to this mizmar in the Sefer Kuzari, and I'll read you part of his language. V'davar barahu, he said it's clear to him, sha'amizmor azeh melameh, she'derech ha'Torah, the derech of learning Torah, this is the preferred way of coming to Hashem is Baruch. In other words, the Kuzari indicates there are two ways to come to Hashem. One is by studying science, mathematics, and astronomy. I spent also, as I said, many, many weeks, if not months, in the Hayden Planetarium. Many. I also spent a lot of time in other museums of geology, of science. My father was very interested in giving me some sort of education over and above that which I received in Sheet University High School. I'm a proud graduate of MCA. All
right.
So the Kuzari writes in the second mimer, Omer HaChaber, Hisbeinino b'yisoid shalom bono davides mizmoro b'shevach HaTorah. Look what David HaMelech did. B'tchilo mitayrash HaShemesh. First he describes the sun and its course. I'm skipping part of it. And then, miyad acharei zehu omer, Torah HaShem Tumima. Ki'ilu hu omer, al tispalu al Torah HaShemesh Eileh. Don't be overwhelmed by the majesty of the universe. Ki ha-Torah be'ira u'be'ira yose mehem. The Torah is even, says the Kuzari, a greater and more profound, if you will, way of coming to Hashem is Baruch. So the Rav did not quote this Kuzari, but I'm quoting it. Because our Salvezi said, what's the pshat of that Mishnah? A person has two ways to come to Hashem is Baruch. Either through examining the world of science and math and what have you, or by learning Torah. So let's say a person decides, okay, I'm going to do it through learning Torah. And then umasik v'mishnaso, and then he decides, for a moment I'm going to, shall we say, take the other tack. Use the other approach. Namely the approach of science. Mano ilon zeh, mano ilir zeh. Says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, harei zeh mischayim benafsho. Interpreted Harav Soloveitchik, both are legitimate methods, clearly. The Navi, David HaMelech is a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, okay? We won't call him a Navi. A Baal Ruach HaKodesh. David HaMelech is saying there are two ways. And yet, that's how many Mepharshim interpret this Mizmar. The preferred method is where, or is how? Limanatar. That is the method that's preferable. That's how the, not just what I read to you now, the Kuzari, but also other Rishonim on this Mizmar indicate this as well. As I said, the Rambam, when the Rambam mentions both, the Rambam mentions in Hilz Yisrael HaTorah, the derech to come to Hashem Yisbarach through examining the Bria, and here in Mitzvah Seh, I quoted to you, hey, but I can read also Mitzvah Seh Gimel, the Rambam says, it says in the Pasuk, Yahatas Hashem Elokecha, Keitzat Oei Vani Asabokom, how do I come to Abbas Hashem? Tamalomar, Boyu Advar Meil Asheronochi Mitzav Chayyom Alababecha, Shemitoch Kach, by learning Torah, Atamaki Mishama Vayaola. You just finish. You come first. Atamaki Mishama Vayaolam, that you come to Akar of Hashem Yisbarach. So you see that Rishonim apparently understood this Mizmar, that there are two ways to come to Hashem, and the way that's preferred is Dafka, Derech HaTorah, as opposed to the other Derech. But I want to say the following. I believe that the end of the Mizmar, how does the Mizmar end? The Mizmar ends, and I'm not even examining the Mizmar now, because I don't have time to do it properly. Maybe with Noah, Shlita, maybe I'll do it, with Nebuchadnezzar, in some form of fashion, much more carefully. But here, the Mizmar ends with the following way. View the Ratzon Imre Fi, Vehegyo Libi Lefanecha, Hashem Tzuri V'Gu'ali. It seems to me that the end of the Mizmar is summarizing and encapsulating both methods. The end of the Mizmar is saying, Yield the Ratzon Imre Fi. What does Imre Fi refer to? According to my understanding of things? And then, well, let's see. Because the other possibility is, Hegyo Libi Lefanecha, Hashem Tzuri V'Gu'ali. So I would argue, Imre Fi refers to the Shvachim of the Borei Olam that come as a result of examining the Bria. Why do I say that? Because Imre Fi really is the individual who is articulating that which has been articulated by Shamayim, that they themselves are Mesaprim Folkeh. If you look at Kevin the Mizmar, notice the verbs. HaShamayim Mesaprim. Masa Yodov Magi. Yom Liyom Yabia Omer. That's why Rav Avadia Yosef Sefer comes from this Mizmar. Yabia Omer. Laila Lala Yechabe. Ein Omer. Vein Dvorim. What verbal form is being used here again and again?
Words.
Words, correct, thank you. Words, words, and more words. All different types of praises of Hashem's barach that are, in effect, being uttered by whom? By Hashem's handiwork, by Shamayim Va'aretz, by the different elements of the universe. And then I would like to suggest at the end, view the Ratzon Imrei Fi, I'm also verbalizing by reciting this mizmah, the Shvachim of Hashem, but the word Hegel Libi, Levi Ani Yizdaiki, what does that refer to, Hegel Libi? Refers to, clearly, Talmud Torah, because as you know, there's a big machlokes between the Mechaber and the Groh. Hamahar B'divrei Torah. Divega Bracha B'chasatei or not. A famous machlokes is the Mechaber and the Groh. What that machlokes is? Alzeyesh Vavir Shi'ur. But not now. Again, we'll do that another time. Hirur. Connect. What does Hirur mean? Person who thinks Divrei Torah. Do you make a bracha on it? Or do you only make a B'chasat Torah when you verbalize Torah? What would you say of him? I would agree with you. How do you know that? Maybe thinking is sufficient. So the Vilna Gaon contends that even thinking of Torah is also a basis for saying Birchas HaTorah. What right does he bring? This pasuk. You, the Ratzon Imrei Fi, Behedion Libi Lifanecha. Plus, I have many other rights as well. That's not the only right for the Gaon. He doesn't need only the pasuk to bring a right, but the Gaon usually goes back to the original source. And there are rights from Gemaras and the like, but I'm just indicating these are two approaches to this mizmar, or if you will, two approaches to Hashem Yisbarach. Both are legitimate, both are well-founded, both are well-grounded. One can utilize both, or combination therein, if you will. But the ideal approach, said in the portion of this mizmar, is the Derech HaTorah. Okay, stop.
For someone who is a great thinker in the sciences, maybe a lot of them aren't Jewish, but some of the greatest thinkers didn't believe in God. Maybe they weren't Jewish or they weren't really for the right reasons, but some of the greatest thinkers, they heard in that other way. Maybe they just never thought about it.
I happen to subscribe to a very famous essay by Rav Chana Wasserman, Zatzal wrote. But I'll tell you the truth, you don't need Rav Chana Wasserman, it's found in Rishon. If you look carefully in the Ramban and a few other places in the Rambam and Ruchim, you'll see the same result. They both contend, all the Yishonim, and Rav Chana says it outright. He writes, a person who actually carefully and really thoroughly and methodically and systematically examines the entire universe, there's no way that he cannot come to Emunah in a God, in Hashem Echad Shemar. It's not possible. And I don't have to, this would require yet a lot more discussion with you. discussing different proofs of the existence of God that I haven't have studied in my days, things of that sort. And one of the famous proofs is that which is quoted by the author of the Chavis HaLovas, who describes in one of his magnificent pieces of Chavis HaLovas how a bottle of ink spilled on, shall we say, a canvas, and presto, what do we have in front of us? A Rembrandt. Would anyone possibly in their wildest moments assume that such a thing is possible? That a Rembrandt can emerge from a bottle of ink spilling? Or to put it the way our Salvezi would express it, what's the difference between, he said, between myself and Rembrandt? In Shabbat Boretz. The difference is that if I, let's say, put together on a canvas, I have ink and the like, and I simply decide to do some painting, once in a while I get into his moods. So I do some painting. So if you look at it from a distance of approximately 2,000 meters, then maybe what I do would be similar to Rembrandt. The moment you begin to approach the two items, you see the work of Avishai David is, how shall I describe it? Horrific. Horrendous. Absolutely grotesque beyond belief. When you go closer to a Rembrandt, what do you see? Wow. The use of chiaroscuro and light and shade and dark and all kinds of, shall we say, techniques that only an artist of his prodigious talents could possibly bring to the canvas. So that's the difference between Rembrandt, Bahamda, and Avishai David. So Abu Chanan says, if one were not to be in some way, in some shape, manner, or form, biased, and what creates a bias? All kinds of things. Biases come from different sensual pleasures that we have. from kavod, from taiva, from money, from gaiva. A person who honestly and sincerely thinks it through, there's no way he cannot come to the idea of one God. This idea is not of Chalutz. It's found in the Ramban and the Rambam and in Chavis Halavos and Rav Sadigo. He might every Rishon who discusses this topic. Maybe we have to explore this matter. I will show you, we'll be showing this idea. So what, in effect, causes these great people not to come to Hashem Yisbarach? Whether it's a personal agenda, or whether it's an agenda that's, shall we say, of a biological nature, of a sensual nature, there are different agendas people have. Maybe you're the only one who doesn't have an agenda. I got plenty of agendas. I admit it. I'm full of agendas.
Really?
One day, perhaps, like that, get to know me. You'll have some, you'll see agendas. So those agendas interfere with my ability to see things. And by the way, I'll give you a, maybe I don't think it's a good marshal, but in the Rambam of the Bukhim, in the second parak of the first chelik, you're familiar with the second parak of the first chelik. Rambam is a very famous, really, to me, I've always been struck by this. Rambam was asked a question by a maskil. It seems that other Rishon, as a result of the chet, was not only not punished, he was rewarded. Why? Because the Torah says, prior to the chet, other Rishon didn't have the ability to distinguish between what and what. What does the Torah say? Tov and Ra. Now the other Rishon committed a chet, he's able to distinguish between Tov and Ra. So clear, instead of being, shall we say, punished, he's rewarded. It's a classic chet niskar, what the Gemara calls. Chet niskar, someone commits a sin and is rewarded for it. So the Rambam, in his sharp, brisker kind of fashion, responds to the Maskil and said, you, blankety blank, individual who's lacking gray matter, that's basically what he says to him, you have missed out the entire thing. You don't know what you're talking about. And the Rambam said the following. I'm trying to summarize the whole perek in Chelek Alvim of the Bruch and Perek Beis that needs 400 hours of study. I'm not exaggerating. The Rambam says, prior to the Chet, how did other Nechava see everything in terms of what? Emerson Checker. Truth and falsehood. Mathematical truth, 1 plus 1 equals 2. Everything was literally to be seen in its objective truth. The moment, however, the chet was committed, at that point, the Yetzer Hara, according to Chazal, entered, insinuated into them. How exactly is a very good question. But somehow the Yetzer Hara got in, and now they no longer able to see things in terms of pure objective truth. Everything now had a subjective element attached to it. And what is a subjective element? Whether it's my personal taibis, whether it's my interest in kavod, whether it's gaiva, arrogance, all kinds of different subjective desires. A streetcar named desire. That's what entered into the picture. And that totally and completely, shall we say, changed everything. So prior to the chet, it was Emerson Checker. After the chet, it's now Tov and Ra. So Tov and Ra is subjective. It's not objective. Emerson Checker is objective. So now were they, shall we say, punished. Says the Rambam, they fell, literally, a fall that was absolutely Mi'igra Rama the Bira Mikta. From the highest crest to the lowest, shall we say, nether regions of the earth. Let me just add what I'm saying. So many years ago, there was someone who taught here in the Michlava. His name is, I now forgot his name, Rav Shraga Silverstein. Shlita. Hashem should be Maruch Yomav. So anyway, so he, Rav Shraga Silverstein, wrote a little pamphlet called The Antidote. Maybe written 40 years ago. I remember Kilo, I saw it today. He describes the following in explaining this Rambam Mor Buchim. Marshal the Ma'adav Adomer, you'll appreciate this Marshal. Okay, thank God cigarettes are no longer, hopefully, as widespread as they used to be, although here in SSL, people smoke on chimneys and they usually want to introduce children who are about a year or two old to cigarettes on Purim. That seems to be a big chinuch on Purim to introduce young men to cigarettes, and now that we know the results of Rahman al-San smoking, both in Kavua, cancers and what have you, Mimehen. So how do you go and advertise a cigarette? So there he gives the example of Marlboro. Marlboro, I don't know, it's still around?
Yeah.
Maybe it's still around. Okay, so Marlboro, they've been around for a long time. You can't just advertise Marlboro, so what do you advertise the following? You have a beautiful, limpid stream. Next to the stream is like a fresh meadow, and it looks very calm and placid. The scene is bucolic. The scene is absolutely one of a pastoral kind of scene. And suddenly there appears on this massive steed. Have you ever been to St. Louis and saw the Clydesdale horses? These massive steeds, massive horses that are absolutely magnificent. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Baruch Hashem. So you can see a magnificent horse, which is about 6 or 7 times the size of the average horse. I'm not exaggerating. And there's this incredible cowboy with a 10-gallon Stetson hat riding on the horse. And suddenly you see this fellow coming into the picture with the stream and the meadow and everything. And of course, 2 seconds later, whom is there? A young damsel, shall we describe her? A young, shall we say, damsel in all of her, how shall we put it? Just destroyed my whole. In all of her, shall we say, natural beauty and the like, and a very romantic kind of scene ensues, etc., etc. And then suddenly, what appears? A Marlboro. So, Shraga Silverstein says, "It's so amazing. What attracts people to the Marlboro? The steed, the horse, the stream, the fresh meadow, and of course the natural, raving, voluptuous beauty of this young damsel." Says Avshaga Silverstein, that's exactly what happened after the Chet. It was no longer that a person would objectively see reality in the light of Emes and Sheker, everything is totally wrong. And that's exactly what Avshaga is saying. See, it's sort of Avshaga. The same is that I'm the woman. If we were to actually, honestly, thoroughly, comprehensively examine and see the beauty of the world, not even a habamina, not even a scintilla of a habamina, we would not come to the idea of Hashem Echad Yisroel. I personally, in my own life, have seen that. And I only studied the fruit fly, and maybe the tadpole, and maybe a few frogs I was expecting. In my days, I used to. Could you believe we did such things? You won't believe this. You won't believe it. We used to actually put blood, human blood, under the slides to examine it. So who was the one responsible for, shall we say, lancing people? Yours truly. We did it. I would take a lance, a metal lance, and just one after the next. The things that I did, I can't even, for the life of me. I'm talking about now. We were not aware of all the, shall we say, myriad of diseases that, thank God, we are aware of today. And through a nace, clearly bigger than Kriyas Yam Suf, nothing happened. It's amazing to me. No, I used to do it as a matter of course. At one time, I was interested in being a doctor. The other problem was, I cringe at the sight of blood. So I'm doing the lancing, and I cringe at the sight of blood, and I'm doing it. We used to do it on a weekly basis. We used to examine blood and. Break it down into its component parts. I'm not talking about. You can take one of those courses of biology. That's what you do. Anyway, so the kids are Nimrods. The reason why I'm saying to you all this, back to the subject at hand, is that that's exactly what Rav Chanan is saying. One was to honestly and really objectively view the world in terms of Chesed Sheker without all of my preconceived notions and all my subjective desires and sensual things, there's no question I would come to Hashem Echad. The kids are, this Mizmor to me, it's a gorgeous mizmor. It tells us there are two approaches. Both are legitimate. The approach of science, the approach of Torah, but the ideal is that through Limud HaTorah, one can come to a greatness of Hashem. I'll say one last thing. I was zochah in the course of my life, and I'm a relatively young man, Baruch Hashem, I was zochah in the course of my life to meet the Gadol Yisrael, a number of them. I met Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal many, many times, because my Rebbe, Mr. Malkman, was a Rebbe in YU, and a Rosh Kedel in YU, and I was very close to him, so he used to bring us to Rav Moshe. And I saw a genius at work, but I didn't really have to go to Rav Moshe, since I saw every day the Rav Zecher Lebracha, who to me was just as big a genius, and I saw the way he behaved. I observed almost every jot and tittle of his behavior. I'm a fellow who likes to stalk the Gadol Yisrael. That's on the side of that. And over the years, I examined the lifestyles of the Gadol Yisrael and seeing their unbelievable character, sterling character. And to me, it only comes, yes, he owns that sterling character. And indeed, it only comes about as a result of one thing, believe it or not, There's no other way that people could come to such heights, such levels of incredible interaction between other human beings and other chavero, and obviously with other Habakkuk as well. And that's what I saw when I studied Gedol Yisrael. And that to me also led me to the maskara of Hashem Echad Shemarach. Because I never saw in this world, I know myself, I am full of foibles. Frailty, thy name is human, said the bar. So I'm full of foibles and full of weaknesses. And what I just changed the list slightly. I grew up on Shakespeare. This was like my bedtime reading at 5 years old. My father was used to read Shakespeare. And when he wasn't in the mood for Shakespeare, he read Tennyson, or Coleridge, or Thackeray, and sometimes Tillem. My father knew Tillem by heart. So he used to read Tillem to us. That's how we went to sleep very quickly. Just couldn't deal with it. But anyone who's had an opportunity to see great people, people whose character is just, as I said, just luster, there's no question you're going to come to Hashem Echad Shemarach. The idea of this mizmor is to show us two approaches, but clearly the Limud HaTorah approach is the one that's preferred, and the one that B'ezras Hashem we should all strive for to the extent that we can, but it doesn't mean that we should gainsay the other approach. Rav Nevinsol Shlita, I have a lot of connection with him, I just spoke to him. Rav Nevinsol is a man, I don't believe he ever went to school. I'm choshen him. That somehow he avoided school. I know he went to grade 8. That I do know. His parents were one of the founders of a well-known German school here in Yerushalayim called Chorev. Imagine you've heard of Chorev. There's the distaff side is right over here, and the boys' side is in the area of Sanhedrin Muhammad. Rav Nevinsol, his parents founded Chorev. But at the age of 12, he went to Panovich. And he probably knew then all Tanakh, which he knows by heart, and all Shas, which he also knows by heart. So he's a bright fella, no question about it. But anyone who speaks to him and has any contact with him and sees how he interacts with people, that can only come about through Limud HaTorah. And he was Mishamish, one of the Gedolei Yisrael. Anyone, it's interesting, when you speak to him, he'll tell you, he was my Rebbe, he was my Rebbe. Everyone's his Rebbe. I once went to a chasana, I'll really end with this. I went to a chasana, I saw next door, another chasana, I saw Rabbi Nevinsol. So I went running over to him. I said, Shalom Aleichem. I said, whose chasana is this? He said, one of the grandchildren of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. His Rebbe. So I said, could you introduce me to all the children of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? I have a chutzpah to do this. And so he said, of course, no problem. He took me from one to the next, all the brothers, and he said to, he went over to Rabbi Zvil Auerbach, who's a rabbi here in Yerushalayim. He said to him, Harav Auerbach, and he speaks very, very tremendous kavod to all these people. Ze chaver sheli. I became his chaver. I almost flipped out. I didn't know what to say. And then each one introduced me as his chaver. One he even says, Ze hayedid sheli. You see the anava, the unbelievable, beautiful character that these people have. And all that also led me to Hashem Echad Shemarach. But Limud HaTorah, that's the way to go. And the one who becomes involved with Limud HaTorah and sees the greatness of it, the profundity of it, and at the same time the profundity of those who learn Torah will, I would say, ipso facto, be led to Hashem Echad Shemarach. And that's the whole idea of the Yom Tov Shavuos.